Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
This is a guy called Sean McCabe. Hi, Sean.
Hello, hello. It's good to be on.
Good. Just put that down a bit now. Yes, so Sean, he is a candidate, an independent community candidate in the local elections now coming up in May. And everybody's calling to your doors at the moment out there. So this guy, I've read his resume and I'm very impressed, I must say. I'll just give you a little. He said, I'm 34 years old, living in Phibsborough. So just round the corner there. And I am a scientist. So that tweaked my interest straight away. And then the fact that you've been working for the last 5 years with the former president, Mary Robinson, and your work is focusing on climate justice. That to me, straight away, you'd be getting my vote. So tell us more. Tell us all.
I'm up in my own right as well.
Pardon?
I need to stand up in my own right too.
Yes, to climate change.
It was a wonderful, wonderful experience working with Mary.
So, as an independent now, and tell us a bit about yourself and what you're hoping to achieve.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be speaking to you. I suppose the focus of this campaign is about empowering communities. As you rightly point out, I've worked on climate change and issues related to human rights in relation to climate change for the last 5 years or so. And it struck me that if we are to survive the next 10, 15, 20 years, we really need empowered communities that have the ability to engage in the political process and have their voices heard in order to ensure that, you know, the decisions that are being taken respond to community needs and also let us steer a safe path into the future. So I don't see myself as running. I see this as a community campaign to secure a voice for Phibsborough in the local governance system, our city council.
But you definitely seem to have focused in the past on homelessness. You're actually a director of My Streets Ireland, which is a social enterprise empowering people recovering from homelessness. So that's another big thing that's on the agenda at the moment.
Well, absolutely. I think we're facing a lot of very grave challenges. Not to paint a bleak picture, but you know, rising levels of inequality, rising poverty across the city, and obviously the clearest manifestation of that is in homelessness. And My Streets is a wonderful project set up by a very good friend of mine, Austin Campbell, who got the idea from Canterbury in the UK. And basically it's about training people to become tour guides, people who have experienced homelessness, and giving them an opportunity to empower themselves by going through a training program and ultimately giving tours, which earns them an income, but also empowers them to speak for themselves and tell their own story on those tours.
And is this tours around Dublin, or what is it?
Well, the project started in Drogheda and is well established in Drogheda, and now it's the first cohort of trainees have just graduated in Dublin, and we have a Phibsborough tour, which has just recently started. A young man who, Eddie, who lived homeless around Phibsborough for a while, is one of those first graduates, and his tour brings people on maybe seeing the lesser known sites of Phibsborough and telling his story. So it's a wonderful project, and I'm really honoured to be a director of it.
Yes. So then, in order for people to give you a vote, what is it then that you hope to achieve or hope to do, you know, as an independent and as a councillor?
Well, I suppose there's a number of different aspects to that. First of all, Phibsborough is in the same constituency for the first time in a very long time in terms of the electoral boundaries. So for a long time, the village of Phibsborough was divided by the boundaries, which meant, I suppose, there's a risk of falling between two stools. And so with all that's going on with the redevelopment of the shopping centre, the redevelopment of Dalymen Park, bus connects, the metro, there's a need for the community to have a voice that allows their concerns to rise to the decision-making table. So that's the first thing. But the second element then comes into a broader Dublin aspect, which is, if we are genuinely concerned about issues of inequality and issues of climate change and sustainable development and waste, we need to have a different understanding of how communities can participate in decision making. We're talking meaningful participation, democratic forums at the community level that allow concerns to rise up and also learnings to come down into communities. Only 2 in 5 people voted in the last local elections in Dublin. So it's hard for the communities of Dublin sometimes to see their principles and their priorities reflected in decision making if voter turnout is so low. So there's a real need, I see, to revalidate our democratic process with communities and empower communities and give communities the tools that are necessary to meet and to meaningfully participate. And actually, we're trying to walk the talk in that regard. We're running a design sprint currently in Phibsborough. The design sprint is a methodology where you bring a community together for a 6-week period and you look at 2 or 3 issues that the community faces. And you try to develop real tangible solutions over a 6-week process to those issues. And that's really the essence of it. It's about empowering communities with tools and processes that allow them to participate deliberatively and find common ground to move forward.
That's a fantastic idea. I mean, I've thought that all the time. Everybody, you know, we're great armchair philosophers and debaters, and we sit and we rant and we give out about what the government aren't doing, you know, and what we'd do if we were in power.
Yeah.
And this
is really
a way of actually putting it down on paper. Well, what would you think is a good plan? And see, could that work? You know,
that's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. Loads of people really want to participate, especially younger people today. Like, we see it even with the young people going out on the climate marches.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
You know, the really powerful response to the homelessness and housing coalition marches. And protest is good and important and necessary in democracy, but so is actually exercising our roles as citizens and becoming active citizens. And I really only want to seek election so that I can serve as a conduit for communities to access decision making and for that process to filter back to the community too and help increase understandings about why decisions are taken.
Yes, yes. Well, the likes of these, I mean, there should be more of that sort of thing, like where there's these hubs where people go. We are supposedly a democracy, but a lot of the time, a lot of us feel we're being railroaded into things, you know, that the government just come out blanket statement, this is what's happening. And, you know, I'm kind of, are we in a dictatorship or what's going on? We should be able to get our voices heard. And then, as you say, so few are coming out and voting. I think they kind of feel a bit disenfranchised and a bit, you know, what's the use? What's the point? Do we have a voice? But something like this, is this going to be, is this kind of like a pilot project? Is you're hoping then that would go across the board to other villages and counties in Ireland? Or
Well, absolutely. So I'm very fortunate to have been able to team up with a group called The Ladder.
Right.
They're a social enterprise who are pioneering this design sprint methodology. And it's all related back to these universal sustainable development goals, which apply to the entire world and can seem very big, like a lot of the challenges that we face, like climate. Everything can seem so big and so daunting and impossible for a community to grab a bit of and try to work on themselves. So this methodology that The Ladder have pioneered, I think, is very innovative, very participative, and something that communities can own, and they can in turn then own the processes that emerge from the sprint. So, to give you an example, the current community sprint we're running in Phibsborough started last week. The next session is tonight, actually, at 6:45 in the back page in Phibsborough. And what it does essentially is gives three projects. The three projects we're working on currently, one is about strengthening community, the second is about improving biodiversity, and the third is about more sustainable ways of consumption and production within our community. And so over the next 6 weeks, those three teams, and there'll be people joining and leaving at various points, but there'll be core teams working on it for the 6 weeks, we'll come up with an idea, a prototype that then can be tested. And so if the projects are successful, which I very much hope they will be, you have a real viable solution that can be rolled out both in Phibsborough and perhaps further afield. But certainly the methodology can be rolled out everywhere. And it gives those communities, like, there's an unbelievable things going on within communities. Within Phibsborough, I'm always blown away by what people are doing in their own lives. And simply because we don't meet and discuss, you can be completely oblivious to the incredible stuff that's happening just down the road in someone's network or in someone's head, you know. And we need to join the dots. We need to connect the groups of people who really are passionate and want to work, and let them bring those incredible skills they have to bear on improving our community.
Definitely.
And this is a process to do it.
Yes, yes. It just sounds like a fantastic thing that you're doing there. And is this only going ahead now at the moment in Phibsborough? That's where it is at the moment.
No, there's one much more mature example up in, so it's been going on for quite a few cycles up in the Digital Hub in the Liberties.
Right.
And that's where I encountered it first. And they have some wonderful projects. They have a Pedal 8 project, which is community-owned initiative to develop a cycleway through the Liberties and to really highlight the history and the current wonderful initiatives that are going on. So I haven't been able to take part in the cycle itself, but they're up online, and they've a number of cycles lined up.
And is it theladder.ie? Is that it?
theladder.io, actually.
.io, right.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what that
yes.
expression is.
I thought that was a misprint there when I saw that on your...
No.
So it's theladder.io, and communities can get involved through that. Now, at the end of this...
Yeah, I think they're hoping to proliferate.
Sorry?
Sorry, I cut across you.
No, sorry, you carry on. You think they're trying
I was just saying, I think their ambition is to proliferate this to as many communities as possible. I'm just fully behind what they're doing. I think it's fantastic, and I'm delighted we've been able to bring it to Phibsborough.
Yes, it sounds like a great idea. Now, the thing is then, do all these great ideas at the end, your little plans and things that you've come up with, do they then, would they go to the government with these, and would they be even looked at? Will it make a change in that regard?
Well, you see, communities have agency. There's no doubt about that, and actually we've gone through a period of maybe two or three decades where we've sort of forgotten about that. We've kind of all become consumers, if you know what I mean, and our lives have become so hectic and so focused on our own work that it's sometimes hard to branch out into your community. But once you do, you realise there's a huge amount of capability within a community to deliver their own projects, So that's the first point. And some of these projects that we're talking about don't necessarily require the type of resources that you might need to go to government or local government for. You know, they're initiatives to build, say, the initiative on building stronger communities is focused on a project called Community, which was, and that's spelled Community with T-E-A at the end. And it was conceived by Daniel Lambert, who runs Bang Bang Cafe here in Phibsborough. He spoke to me about it a number of months ago, where you just want neighbours to interact. And one good way to get neighbours interacting is if you have some recognised event, a community event, where once a week or once a month, one house hosts community, brings all their neighbours in, the neighbours bring a cup and a tea bag, so there's no pressure on people to put on a spread or to host in a very intensive way. You just bring people around for a cup of tea. And if we could spread this idea, we hosted the first in my house here in Phibsborough back in November, and 47 people from the street showed up. It was unbelievable, you know, and suddenly you have people who were telling us that they hadn't had any interaction with the neighbours ever. They'd been living here 7 years and hadn't spoken to anyone. And there's a lot of isolation in the city and a lot of loneliness, particularly for older people and also newly arrived communities. So this was a remarkable experience. And so what we're looking at through the design sprint is, like, how do we convince hosts to take this on, like potential hosts? How do we convince neighbourhoods to take on the community model, and every week a different house or every month a different house hosts it? If you did that for a year on a street, you would suddenly have a street that was incredibly connected and incredibly capable of advocating on bigger issues.
Yes, definitely. And the fact that they're able to get together and chat and give their ideas and hopefully, you know, to overcome the things that are happening within their own communities, to feel they have a voice. They can see what's happening, and a lot of the, as you say, the older people, and they're lonely and whatever, isn't it? Killing two birds with one stone. But you're getting everybody together. They become friends. They have a little network. They're not as lonely or as isolated, and they're getting their voices heard. And you know, in older days, there was the elders of the tribe, and I feel these days the elders are being forgotten about, but they have so many great ideas, and, you know, still have agile minds, and you know, taking things from the past. We can't just forget the past. There were the good old days when some things were better, and, you know, they have input to give. So these communities sound fantastic. I think I might try to get one up and running in our own community.
Yes, for sure. And the critical point to them is that you're not just inviting your friends over and the people that you do know in the neighbourhood. You actually go to the effort of inviting people you've never spoken to, and making sure that those connections are made, because that's how you meaningfully tackle loneliness and isolation. Yes. And also in a community full of, like, in a city where there's so many people renting, I'm still renting myself, and, you know, I know I've moved around to various parts of the north side over the last 15 years. You can go into a neighborhood and leave a neighborhood and never know anyone within it, but if this network was established, you know, people would have a place to immediately link into their community when they moved into the area. And we're missing an opportunity if we don't know our neighbours. Like, if we don't know our neighbours, how are we going to solve the bigger problems? You know? It's quite simple. But going back to what you were saying about elderly people in our communities and the wisdom that's contained within these wonderful people who are maybe not valued as much as necessary. One of the things we've been actively trying to get off the ground here in Phibsborough, just there's not enough hours in the day, is an intergenerational dialogue.
Right.
And I think we need those type of fora as well, where older people and younger people in the community come together and you know, you can always run the risk of generations viewing each other with suspicion because there's no linkages between them. All of these things come from isolation or gaps in communication. We need to be more cohesive, and that would be a wonderful opportunity, I think, to have a forum where young people and old people can meet and share ideas. Like, you could have trainings running in two directions. You could have young people training old people in the use of smartphones, and you could have older people training younger people in tools or crafts or you know, repairing goods. There's huge opportunity if we just join the dots.
Definitely, definitely. And then you get the communities together, you've more of kind of power in numbers, isn't there? And then everybody together, yeah, to fight
well,
for these
different
issues.
Well, I think that's issues. Exactly it. Yeah. That's at the essence of the campaign. So if we understand that we have a huge amount of strength together and wisdom contained within us all and skills and talents, then we can go to decision-making tables, whether that's local government or national government. Like, you were mentioning earlier the disenfranchisement. The disenfranchisement is double-sided. Certainly it comes from politicians who don't try to meaningfully engage with their constituents. But on the flip side, if their constituents aren't using their voice, there's no pressure on politicians to engage. They have their base. They don't have to step outside that. They're comfortable. And so if we had a more active democracy in Ireland, if we had communities that were empowered, then we would change the decision making, and we would then hopefully give ourselves a fighting chance against some of those very big, like, very great risks that are coming down the line.
Yes, yes. So are you going to be out on the doorsteps canvassing and campaigning over the coming weeks? Yes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's already started. We've been at it for about 2 months, actually.
Yes.
Meeting people, and it's. I wasn't sure how it would be at first, but it's been an incredible experience. People are really keen to engage, keen to talk. We're not approaching people. We want people to get involved. This is a grassroots campaign that we'd love to turn into a grassroots movement.
Yeah.
And so we want people to participate as much as to just give us their feelings about what could change in the area or what needs to be fixed. Really reimagine what local governance can be for them.
Yeah.
And so one of the commitments through all of this campaign is complete transparency, which we're working, because I think the lack of transparency is sometimes what sows disillusionment with voters. But then when I'm done, regardless of the outcome of this campaign, win or lose, I'm going to document the process and share it in 5 years' time with young people who subscribe to some basic principles about, you know, inclusion and participation and rights-based approaches, in the hope that we can maybe in 5 years' time have a large number of young candidates who are kind of running with the same attitude towards local governance, reimagining local governance. That could be a powerful thing.
Definitely, definitely. Sounds amazing now, and I think most communities should get involved in that community and your design sprint through the ladder.io.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ladder.io. I think there's also a ladder.io, so it would be important to include the.
Very good. Well, Sean, I wish you the best of luck with your canvassing and with all of these great community ideas that you're coming up with, because I feel they are really needed at this point in time. We need to get together and have more communities and have more people power and people voices from the people. Yeah.
Voices. Well, and you guys are past masters at that, because you know your cooperative approach to radio is exactly what's necessary. We need more cooperative approaches. So it's a real pleasure to speak to you today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to speak to you, Sean. And thanks so much for coming on to talk to us. And best of luck throughout your career. I'm sure it'll be great. We'll hear from you again, and I'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Take care, Sean.
Lovely.
Take care.
All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.